Lights, camera, Bernanke. The Fed chairman defends his controversial policies on TV.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. For the second time since the end of the financial crisis, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke appeared on the CBS News program 60 Minutes. Bernanke is taking a more visible role after a whole lot of criticism of his policies from economists and from politicians. Marketplace's David Gurra reports now from Washington.
These days, you can find the former Princeton professor back in the classroom, lecturing at colleges and universities. But last night, he spoke to a bigger audience during a rare TV appearance. He's been taking the most heat for a plan to buy $600 billion worth of securities. His critics say he's just printing money.
We're not printing money. The amount of currency in circulation is not changing. The money supply is not changing in any significant way. What we're doing is lowering interest rates by buying Treasury securities. And by lowering interest rates, we hope to stimulate the economy to grow faster.
What the Fed chairman says is important and widely listened to because his decisions affect not only world markets, but credit card rates and mortgages. And what's especially interesting is that in the 60 Minutes interview, Bernanke continued to talk about topics outside the Fed's policy purview. He answered questions about the income gap in the U.S. and said it might be wise for the government to take a hard look at the tax code. One thing Bernanke decided not to weigh in on is what he thinks should happen to the Bush-era tax cuts. In Washington, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
Well, tax cuts are on the agenda this week in Washington. The current talk revolves around a compromise that would extend unemployment benefits while temporarily continuing the Bush tax cuts for all income levels. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell spoke on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday.
I think it's pretty clear now taxes are not going up on anybody in the middle of this recession. We're discussing how long we should maintain current tax rates.
And there's word a bipartisan economic package could come by the end of the week. And let's do the numbers. Numbers are mixed right now across the world. Markets are mixed. Pretty modest gains and losses in Europe and Asia. Drug maker Pfizer is getting a new CEO. Analysts say the old one didn't produce enough blockbuster drugs. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 19 points to close at 11,382. Well, here in New York and all around the country, the bell ringers from the Salvation Army are out asking for your spare change. It's the giving season, after all, and as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, giving books is a growing trend in the world of corporate philanthropy.
At the checkout register at Borders Bookstore in Los Angeles, the cashier says to each customer,
"We're also collecting donations for a charity called Aviva. We're trying to get books to kids for Christmas. Did you want to donate one of these titles behind me?"
Sure.
These two books? Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Mary Davis is PR manager for Borders Group.
This is a great way to get books into hands of kids that might not otherwise have access to these books.
She says the book drives reflect well on the company.
It's great when your local bookstore or your local retailer has a vested interest in strengthening communities, so it's a good PR story.
In a completely separate act of book charity, author Tom Clancy and his publisher gave 1,000 copies of his new novel to American soldiers. The books included personal thank you notes from the public. Tom Colgan is Clancy's editor.
We've given books just directly to the military, but this twist of really getting people involved directly where they can write their own message is new. That's something that we came up with this time around.
If there's any benefit in terms of marketing, he says it's not by design.
We're giving away 1,000 books, so we're not going to sell 1,000 more books because we did this.
Penguin is also donating $10,000 to Walter Reed Red Cross, and Borders is giving $50,000 to a literacy charity called First Book. But other companies prefer to give more products and less cash. Consultant Kurt Whedon advises corporations about philanthropy.
It's the tax advantage, the branding advantage that comes in conjunction with product giving that's driving that form of corporate philanthropy throughout the country, not just in the book publishing field.
In 2009, Whedon says high-tech giant Oracle was one of the top corporate donors.
99% of their giving was product.
Publishing and philanthropy intersect again as Whedon writes about the subject in a new book called Smart Giving is Good Business. Comes out in February. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. Marketplace Money is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Google is reportedly buying an 18-story office building in Manhattan for about $2 billion. The building takes up an entire city block, and it's already got some people talking about a new Manhattan tech mecca. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
The building at 111 8th Avenue has already made a name for itself.
Is this the Google building?
Yeah.
Right now, Google's just a tenant. It rents out about 500,000 square feet of space here for its New York headquarters. But Google's expected to buy the entire structure by the end of the month. Eric Anton with Manhattan real estate firm Eastern Consolidated says the building's internal guts hold great appeal for high-tech firms.
The building sits on one of the main fiber optic cables in Manhattan, and the floor loads here were built to support enormous weight.
Perfect for heavy servers and access to lightning-fast internet connections, just what Google and other building tenants like Verizon and WebMD need. Anton says once Google buys the building, businesses will clamor to get in, if only for a chance to make that elevator pitch to CEO Eric Schmidt. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, while we're on the subject of real estate, there's a steal to tell you about out in Montana. If you're looking for a quiet getaway that's got a little piece of history, it's about $69,000. The price is about half of what it was on the market for, and realtors say it's secluded. Well, the piece of land was owned by the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. His little cabin, by the way, is not included. That was taken away by police. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Over in the UK, the government is still rolling out its austerity budget. Housing benefits for the poor are the latest.
People are going to move on out, and they're going to have to search for the cheaper properties, and it's going to have to be out of London.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tougher times for people on the dole. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.